Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening,
boys and girls.
Now, Rumsey, we agreed that I was going to do the introductions.
Too excited to wait, Alan. It's so wonderful to make this trip back to Earth and visit the village we started 150 years ago.
Village? Why, Rumsey, Ann Arbor has a population of over 100,000 people now.
Well, things certainly have changed. Sakes alive! Who are all these children? What are they doing here?
Why, glory be! Let's ask them. Why, look, they're dressed just as we are. Not like the people out here. Why, you can even tell the boys from the girls.
Say, that one with the top hat looks like you, John, in your younger days. Much younger days.
That one in the cap, Rumsey. He looks like you used to look. Only he's much more handsome than you ever were.
Let's talk to them. Say, you in the fancy clothes, who are you? You remind us of people we once knew.
We're actors. We're students. Well, tonight we're actors. I'm playing the part of John Allen, and he's playing the part of Walker Rumsey. Two pioneers who bought this land we call Ann Arbor now and started a town.
Well, I'll be.
We're here to sing a few songs about early Ann Arbor.
Who are you?
Well, you might not believe this, but I'm the real John Allen. And this is the real Walker Rumsey.
Wow!
And we've come back to tell these folks out here about our old town as it was in the early days, on account of their celebrating their sesquicentennial.
That's 150 years since this town was founded.
Yes, we know.
Say, I bet you youngins know a lot. How would you like to help us here tonight? We could tell it like it was. And you could help make our memories come to life with your actions and songs. And together we could put on a real show.
What do you think?
That would probably work. They could do the explaining. Shall we try it, kids?
Yeah!
Okay, it's a deal.
I wonder, as I look into the audience of these people of 1974, if they could possibly imagine how this land was when we first arrived and stood by the river, near what they call Island Park today.
Yes, let's begin there. You must start us off. Could we use your voices for the introduction? For you two are the only ones who could possibly know and be able to express your feelings you had on that very day.
That was a time to remember. Rumsey, do you remember the thoughts we had on that day?
Oh, yes. I remember we questioned each other before making our decision.
That's right. I started off by saying... Rumsey.
Yes, Alan.
What do you feel? What do you see?
Alan.
Yes, Rumsey.
This is what I feel, what I see. I feel a sense of peacefulness in a valley where a river does flow. I know that this is just the place to watch my money grow. Alan?
Yes, Rumsey.
What do you see? What do you feel?
Rumsey.
Yes, Alan.
This is what I see, what I feel. I see a land before me, covered with many trees. I hear the birds a-singing, and I see them winging, and I feel it's great to be free. Rumsey.
Yes, Alan.
I know our traveling's done. Never seen such a beautiful piece of land underneath the sun.
Let's buy this land of the rolling hills through which the river does flow. I have visions of a town right there and a pocket full of dough.
Rumsey, for once I agree with you. It's the best spot that I know.
And the sweat spread out before us, our families and money will grow.
Yes, Rumsey, we did make the right decision. We had a valley good for growing things. A beautiful river, which also helped for taking logs down to the sawmill. And we had many beautiful trees.
I couldn't buy as much as you, but at $1.25 an acre, I did manage to buy 160 acres. And with your 480 acres, we had a large piece of land.
Yes, we had a square mile. And it wasn't long before we had company. Many settlers came from many different directions.
Alan, I wonder if Chief Okemos has ever returned to see what's happened to this land. The Indians certainly knew every inch of these parts before we ever laid eyes on it.
Yes, they were a proud people. Their voices and drums could be heard throughout the whole territory. Remember that, Rumsey? They were pretty worried when they first saw us coming. After all, this was their hunting ground.
But they didn't have a settlement here.
In fact, we got pretty friendly with Chief Okemos, if you remember. I can still see him coming into town with a dozen or so squaws following him. They'd come up to the store and trade.
That's right. They brought wild honey, furs, venison, and berries, didn't they?
Yep. And they traded it for tools and cloth and other things that they needed. Why, once I remember when Miss Lucy Clark had her piano bought all the way from the East. The Indians used to love to hear her play that piano. They used to gather around her house and listened to her. It was a regular thing. And finally, the chief offered to trade the piano for a pony and throw in the player, too.
Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Remember, John, after we went back to Detroit and bought the land, how we came back with my wife, Mary Ann, spent one night with the Woodruffs in Ypsilanti, and the next night by the river here. We had no place to stay, and the wolves were howling in the forest. So we cut off the tops of four young trees growing close together, took all the supplies out of the wagon, turned it upside down, and put it over the trees. This was our shelter, with blankets wrapped around the outside for walls.
Now, Rumsey, that was your shelter, a cozy bedroom. I myself had to sleep on the ground in a bedroll.
Well, that was good enough for a man alone. Your wife, Ann, and your children were still back in Virginia. They didn't get here till spring.
I remember. We had a lot of work to do that winter. We marked out the land we bought, and one side of the path was on my land, and the other side of the path was yours.
Have you seen that path today? Huron Street. Hundreds of horseless wagons whizzing by in all directions, and everybody in such a hurry.
Well, we were in a hurry too, in our own way, building new cabins, marking off land and naming streets. Remember, you named the North and South Streets.
And you named the East-West Streets.
I wanted to name the special,
like Anne, my wife.
You picture in your mind that special day when we name the streets of this town of ours. From these, it takes much time to count it on your fingers. Sentimental Allen, you took hours. I said, come on, Allen, let's get this all. Can't see why you're so serious now. I'll name the first street first, then second, third, fourth, fifth. It's easy somehow. Sorry, I must ponder this a moment. The name will last 4 years to come. This first street running east and west is important, don't you see? Let's name it for the Huron River, flowing along so free. Come on, Allen, let's get this all in order. Can't see why you're so serious now. I name the first street first, then second, third, fourth, fifth. Easy, Allen, it's easy somehow. Sorry, I must ponder this a moment. The name will last 4 years to come. South of here is Washington, for the father of our country, for freedom our fathers fought for. Next is liberty. Come on, Allen, let's get this all in order. Can't see why you're so serious now. I name the first street first, then second, third, fourth, fifth. Do you see, Allen? It's easy somehow. Sorry, I must ponder this a moment. The name will last 4 years to come. I'd like to name the next street Williams. This is for my brother, for two other presidents, Jefferson and Madison. Come on, Allen, let's get this all in order. Can't see why you're so serious now. I name the first street first, then second, third, see somehow. Sorry, I must ponder this some moment. The name will last for years to come. And street will be north of Huron. This is for my dear wife. Last is Catherine. How I love that name. Finally, Alan, you have this all in order. Can't see why you were so serious now. I named the first street first, then second, third, fourth, fifth. Do you see, Alan? It's easy somehow. Oh, so easy somehow. The new street on the eastern edge of town needs a name.
Well, that's your territory. No, you'll probably name it Sixth Street.
No, we're figuring on naming it Division, on account it divides the town from the country.
Picture a day in the future.
Most of those streets still have the same names, but Division doesn't divide the city from the country anymore.
Sure doesn't. It's right in the heart of town.
And now they call your first street Main Street.
Well, now, that doesn't show too much imagination either.
The old blockhouse we called Bloody Corners, and that was on the corner of Main and Huron, where the little park is now.
Maybe they're fixing to turn that little park into some sort of memorial. For us, and all the other settlers, Easterners, blacks, Germans, Irish, Greeks, Jews, all those who worked to make this town grow.
Well, I don't really think so, but maybe if we can tell all those city officials out here about that and get those folks to do the same, maybe somebody will get it going.
Anyway, that blockhouse would be a funny sight to young folks nowadays. The top part stuck out about a yard or more over the first floor on all sides, in case of Indian attacks. There never was one, but that's how it got the name, Bloody Corners. Even got painted red once.
Well, you didn't tell them what we really built it for. It was for the new settlers who didn't have a cabin yet. Suppose you'd call it a motel now, but it didn't look like anything they have in those fancy buildings nowadays.
First night, before it was ever finished, there were 35 people there.
And more folks kept coming. It really got crowded there, all right. Why, when my wife arrived here, our cabin wasn't finished yet. So we had to stay there. Couldn't move at night without stepping on somebody. It was sure mighty cozy.
Well, folks kept moving here, coming from the east, north, south. In the spring, the mud was so deep, their wagon wheels would get stuck in the mud, and everybody would have to get out and push.
Opening up the Erie Canal brought even more folks out this way. Why, you could come from by boat all the way from New York.
Yep. And we all worked together, building our cabins. Everybody worked on one, then another, piling logs on top of each other, raising up the high ones with cork poles.
And all this time, we still didn't have a name for our town. Months went by. Nobody could agree on a name. We wanted something special, a name to fit this town.
I remember the day we did decide. We'd come in from working on the building, Bee, and we're sitting around where the women worked, under the grapevine arbor.
Rumsey, it was a burr oak arbor.
Grapevine.
Oak.
Well, it was so long ago, how would you remember?
Me? Why, you're older than I am. You must be getting senile.
Well, anyway, we were in the arbor shortly after your family had arrived. Seems to me your wife asked,
"What if you name the settlement, John?"
Well, lots of us have been trying to think of names. To tell you the truth, we haven't thought of one that suits us yet, but it's high time we did.
We kind of thought of naming it after you two women, two brave pioneer women, willing to come here and put up with all the hardships here.
They thought of Annstown.
Or Annapolis.
That's right, Miss Parsons, or Ann's Villa.
How about Ann's Arbor? You always sit here by this lovely arbor to do your cooking, Mrs. Rumsey.
Yes, Elizabeth, and I'm sure your mother will, too.
That's a great idea.
No other city in the world has such a name.
Then it's agreed. We'll call it Ann's Arbor.
A beautiful town to live and to work in.
It seems they've dropped the S and just call it Ann Arbor instead of Ann's Arbor. But I reckon it's easier to say that way.
Remember when we went after the county seat? All we had to promise the governor to get the county seat here in Ann's Arbor.
I had to give a block of my land for the county jail, plus $1,000 cash, labor, and material to build it. And you had to give a block of your land for the courthouse.
I had once in mind to be a judge. And do you know the courthouse is still there on that very same block?
Tis not, John. That's a newfangled courthouse.
Oh, it's a new building, all right. In fact, I'm told it's the third one. But it's standing right on the same spot where the first courthouse was.
Well, I'll be darned. Remember Mr. Beckwith's store, John? Where the women folks would come to buy food, clothes, cards of thread, ladles for cooking, and the men bought tools, farm implements, and the Indians came to trade.
And Warren Mills, the tailor, he was always coming in just hoping Miss Harriet Parsons, the school marm, would be there.
Morning, Mr. Mills. We were just talking about you. Oh, wonder what you were saying. Just sort of fine bandy guy going. Heard you practicing in the blacksmith shop last Saturday.
You haven't seen Miss Harriet Parsons, the schoolmarm, this morning, have you, Mr. Beckwith?
Yes, sir. She was just in, just left.
Oh. She brought some food on the thimble. Right, she's planning to sew.
Well, I could do her sewing for her. I mean, I'm a tailor, the only tailor west of Detroit.
Well, maybe she aims to give you a little competition, Mr. Mills. Maybe she's fixing on being the second tailor west of Detroit.
And everybody would come and chew the fat. We got our local news, distant news too, even before a newspaper got started. And everybody gathered around the old wood stove, the carpenters, blacksmiths, barbers, masons, tanners, all proud of the town we were building.
Well, here comes the tanner. How leather business, Mr. Man. Morning, Mr. O'Toole, Mr. Schilling.
Good morning, Mr. Beckwith. Have you got the newspaper yet? Has Burner got it ready yet?
Yep, Burner this morning, Mr. Man. The Western Immigrant. We got our newspaper now.
Oh, I just wanted to see if they got my ad right.
Schilling, look! More Germans coming. We could have our own little fatherland. Wonderful!
What do you want to do that for? This is America. We can mix with everybody else. We can all work together, all the locals and other immigrants, like Mrs. O'Toole, here from Ireland, and Mr. Veal.
Veal's a Jew.
He knows 5 languages. He taught us English.
He's a tanner, a real competitor.
Competition is healthy. Anyway, Ann Arbor's growing, so we can use 2 tanners.
Town sure is growing. We got 3 inns, 3 stores, a blacksmith shop, 2 tanneries, 2 sawmills, a flour mill, and a school.
And lots of farms, trades, carpenters, barbers, and masons.
Thank you.
You were sure busy in those days, John. You were even the postmaster for a while.
Well, I believe in keeping busy. I helped my father with the sawmill, and I helped my brother at the store, and I even dabbled in politics for a while. I even tried to get the state capitol here. That's how State Street's got its name. Well, we lost out on that one, but we did get the university here from Detroit.
Gaudium usigetur.
Oh, no, Rumsey. Well, you know, as you know, we used the land that we planned to put the capitol on for the university.
He's modest, too.
No, but don't suit a man to be idle. You weren't idle either. You were elected the first justice of the peace.
Had to help meet the needs of our town.
Now, folks in Lower Town on the other side of the river, they were busy too.
Looked like they were fixing to build another town there.
No, but they did want the center of town there.
Anson Brown and Edward Fuller were two busy men.
Anson Brown wanted to be the postmaster. He did get the post office to his store for a while on the other side of the river. And they built new stores there on Broadway. Remember they had a tannery and a hotel?
You know what they called us? The Hilltoppers. Because we lived up there on the hill.
Yes, they thought we were fancy folk.
Fancy? Who's talking? Look how they named their streets. Copied all those fancy names in New York. Broadway, Wall Street, Canal Street.
Then there was the Underground Railway. There had been several black families around here before they passed the Black Law in 1827, which meant all black men had to show a certificate of freedom. Some of them went further up north to Canada, where they were safe. But black men who were free, like Hardy and Ray and their families, they stayed. And many others were helped as they made their way to the north. A chain of secret cellars, attics and caves, and rooms that didn't appear to have any doors were used to hide these people during the day. And at night, conductors or guides helped them on their way. It was dangerous work, but many people took the risk to help their black brothers. Reverend Beckley was one of those men, and I understand his home on Pontiac Street can still be seen today.
You know, others came here for freedom, too.
That's why we left Germany. We didn't have the freedom to worship or govern ourselves.
There's no democracy there. We, too, had to sleep away at night.
We left also, because conditions were so bad in Ireland. We want to live in a free country. I am proud to live in Ann Arbor.
That's why I live on Liberty Street. I want my sons to grow up on Liberty Street in a free country. We are proud of this country.
We must help them.
We must all be free.
Say, you young'uns from the schools are doing real well. What's the name of your school? Whew, so many schools. Why, I remember our first school here. Would you like to hear about it?
Yeah!
It was back in 1826. Let me tell it, John. In 1826...
It was 1825. I started it.
Miss Parsons was the first teacher.
Rumsey, it was Miss Monroe.
What? All right, you tell it.
Well, back then we didn't have taxes like you have today. So when I decided to have a school for the children of Ann Arbor, we had to ask each family to help pay a little bit. That's if we could find a teacher.
And you donated the little log building on the corner of First and...
It's Main Street now, Rumsey. It's where they got the Main Street Party Store. Well, anyway, they didn't have any blackboards or hardly any paper. That was scarce. They sat on split log benches that their fathers made. They didn't have maps or pictures, and everyone had a different book. But somehow they learned. Well, Miss Rowe, who was our first teacher, she upped and died. So Miss Harriet Parsons, who'd been teaching Sunday school out in the woods, she came our next teacher.
Yes, I remember the young'uns telling how she made them toe the line. History lessons, like all lessons, were serious, but somehow she made it interesting.
Now, class, yesterday we were talking about how our little community got started. Who were the first people to live on this land we call Ann Arbor Town?
50 years ago,
were seen in the 1600s. Who came to hunt and trap animals for their furs? Just a few years ago, who bought this land and mapped out a town.
1824.
Helping this village grow. What waterway helps people get here from the east? And what people have come from another country and shared their customs with us? Americans have come up from the South seeking their freedom and helping to clear this land.
Black Americans came up from the South. People here helping set them free. A chain of hiding places for the underground railroad. They went through sin passages and up their shoulders.
Well, one thing we did have, even back then, was a lot of love and romance.
Right, that ain't new.
The history lesson my daughter, Elizabeth, remembered the best was in current history, as she peeked through the schoolhouse door after school one night. That silly Laura Mills proposed to Harriet Parsons right there in the school. To hear Elizabeth tell about it, it was a real love story. I guess he came stumbling in with flowers in his hand, mumbling a bit and then blurted it out almost in song, saying,
Harriet, will you marry me? Marry me, marry me, marry me. Harriet, will you be my bride? I want to have you by my side. I love your eyes and I love your hair. I love the way you walk. I'd love to be your pupil now, for I love to hear you talk. People to teach and books to read, places I have yet to see. These things I feel are important now, important just to me.
Harriet, won't you marry me? Marry me, marry me, marry me. Harriet, won't you be my bride? I want to have you by my side. I will build you a big brick house, finest one in town. First one west of Detroit City with a white fence all around.
Lauren, I would marry you, marry you, marry you, marry you. Lauren, I would marry you, but right now I've got things to do. I have people to teach and books to read, places I have yet to see. These things I feel are important now, important just to me.
Won't you marry me? Marry me, marry me, marry me. Harriet, won't you be my bride? I want to have you by my side. I'm not a poor tailor, but money do I have. I'll be famous someday. I'll have elegant tailor shops across the USA.
Lauren, I will marry you. Marry you, marry you, marry you.
Beautiful gown you will wear. Then you will marry me?
Yes, Lauren, I'll marry you.
Harriet, when you marry me, marry me, marry me, marry me. Harriet, when you be my bride, I will be most happy deep inside.
You were always the sentimentalist, Alan. Of course, you remember all the romances and all days filled with emotion. Like that day in October 1839, when the first train chugged in from Detroit. I was not around to join in on the fun, but I remember looking down on the festivities and wishing I could ride that train.
Oh, you're right, Rumsey. That was a most spectacular sight. The crowd was so excited. The band was playing and the judges were so busy getting disorganized. And Lieutenant Governor Mundy was coming in on the train. The whole scene is so vivid in my mind.
Jacob and Henry, see if you could hear anything.
They come and they
be coming around the bend. Go take a look.
That day about progress and about dreams coming true and how you could get to Ann Arbor from Detroit in just 2.5 hours instead of a whole day and how someday the train would go clean through to Kalamazoo. Then everybody trudged up the hill to the courthouse lawn where the woman folk had fixed some good eating. This looks just about as good a place as any to bring our story about early Ann Arbor to a close. Well done, my young friends. And thank you. Thank you so much for helping our story about early Ann Arbor come to life.
Thank you. You made it make sense. Well, goodbye, sir. Maybe we'll see you in another 50 years.
Say, before we go, do you think you all could do that song about Ann Arbor one more time? Sing it for today, for 1974? I understand it's on a record put out by the Sesquicentennial Commission.
Yes, and they're selling it here tonight.
Imagine that. A song about our town. Say, you guys think we could get all the folks in the audience out here to help us sing this song? Wouldn't that give everybody out there just a good feeling?
Okay,